Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome in the second half of the show. Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Jason off tonight. Dan Beyer in his stead. Disco ball is still down. Marching band refuses to yield. I could sing the whole American Pie, and that'll get us through the next 10 minutes. But I'll leave that to the wayside at Dan Beyer on Fox, where you find him.
Can't be any crazier than with Cole last hour.
Yeah, you like that, huh? Yeah, you know, I kept trying to get real football in, and he's like, would you stop? It's like, come on, man. We gotta talk some football.
And I've been on a bunch with you, Mike, when Jason's been on, but it was the B Jerry Jones combination that just took it to another level.
Yeah, Jerry B's and all of that. And I wasn't kidding. Jerry Jones did appear very early in the
That's what I heard.
And everything. It was people were just confused, and I started cheering. It's like, you should recognize why you have this stadium and all stand and applaud his image on that Jumbotron. The people near me were not happy with that proclamation.
Hey, facts are facts.
That's it. That's exactly what I said. Congratulations to the Baltimore Orioles, who lost their 100th game of the season. They are now 44 and a half games back of division-leading Tampa. But they've got a couple of guys in AAA that you just can't wait to see, Dan Beyer.
There was a time when in my broadcasting career, true story, this was back when I was back home in Wisconsin, and I was working in Madison, and the Brewers were so awful. Like they were not good. They were trimming payroll and getting worse. So just there wasn't a great feel about them, but you always heard about their farm system. And then their farm system at the time were J.J. Hardy, Corey Hart, and Prince Fielder. And so you had these names that you had always heard about of guys that were on the horizon. And true story, we broadcast one of their double A games from Huntsville during the All-Star break just to try to get people to be excited about the Brewers or at least hear a little bit about the players that were going to be in the majors in the next couple of years. I kind of feel like the Orioles and Diamondbacks could be in that sort of territory.
See, and they were really hoping that, you know, they got the September and the heat would go off because the Ravens would start off big. And then they lose the game to the Raiders, and there's so many injuries right now. And Ronnie Stanley's hurt again, and Villanueva was terrible. And a lot of hand-wringing now as to what this season becomes. So this is a whole other thing starting to develop. So more attention to the last couple of weeks of the Orioles than they probably would have gotten otherwise. Look, shiny new things in the distance. Don't worry about the next injury report and the next guy in the secondary that goes down for the Ravens. And obviously a big matchup over the weekend. They've got the Chiefs. That is Sunday Night Football. So we have that rolling with us as well. But one of the big stories out of the NFL, and we've seen a lot of people chime in, former teammates, pundits, and a lot made about one game, perhaps more so than any other, and that was the drubbing that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers took in Week 1, an absolute demolition effort at the hands of Jameis Winston. We talked about him a little bit in the pyramid, 55 of his passing yards, which was a smallish yardage total, came on one play, 5 touchdown passes. Look, you take what the defense affords you, you make plays, succeed, and proceed. But a big blowout win for the Saints. So all of a sudden, the eyebrows are raised of, well, what are the Saints? I don't know about you, but I had the defense rated probably bottom part of the top 10 with some potential to get better, right? You got a member of your front seven on suspension for 6 weeks. So eventually he comes back and they can be even more formidable up front. But what you saw with Green Bay was a lot of timing issues. And then you start thinking about the offseason. Matt LaFleur, even on Friday in his press availability, saying, oh, I'm tired of talking about it. It's like, well, no, this is the situation that you all brought to bear. Mm-hmm. You don't get to decide when people are done talking about it. If you go out and absolutely demolish the Lions on Monday Night Football, it may quell it for a moment, but beating Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, and that squad isn't going to really, you know, wave off a 35-point burial to a team that you should be competing with in the NFC if we're going to look big picture, as opposed to the Detroit Lions, where the best thing you can say about the matchup is familiarity. And even then, it's a new coaching staff. So it's, yeah, you know, it's a first experience for all of them, except for having maybe played against Aaron Rodgers at some point. So, you know, LaFleur trying to push it away. Rodgers, I saw another commercial that just came out. It was great. He was like the aloof rock star because he has that gray beard going, mm-hmm, and all of that stuff. I think he borrowed wardrobe from Lenny Kravitz. Not quite Hunger Games Lenny Kravitz, but, you know, rock star Lenny Kravitz,
yeah,
as you go through. But for the Packers, you know, we're not going to really learn anything from week two, but color me interested to see how this plays and whether there truly is a division in the locker room. Because I asked Jay Glazer when he joined us the other day, Dan, and I don't think I've ever had Jay take as long a pause before he started to answer a question. And he just said, you know what, that's a good question. I don't know right now. Right, as to how he came back, but do you have some portion of the locker room? It's like, if you don't want to be here, don't be here, man.
There's everything that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers received this week. And this is not meant to be malicious and mean, but all of the criticisms, all of the questions being brought up were legitimate. They were absolutely legitimate brought up. They should be brought up in a situation when you play a game like that, bring how everything played out in the preseason and how everything played out in the offseason. It's legitimate that they should be brought up, Mike. The question now is, and the thing that drives me a little crazy is, are you counting Aaron Rodgers and the Packers out, or are you all in? And I just don't think it's that simple. To the point of Jay Glazer, and to your question of saying that, there's a lot more at play. It was one of the things that I had heard when Brett Favre would do his retirement thing. And again, I know it always comes back to what Brett Favre did when Aaron Rodgers was there. But one of the reasons that made the transition easier, in addition to Rodgers or Favre actually having a retirement ceremony where they did think he was retired, was that Rodgers got along with all the guys because everybody there was kind of the same age. Everybody there was friends with everybody. And now at Green Bay, you wonder on how many of those guys are boys with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm just saying it as a fact. I mean, there in our workplace, I love the people that we work with. But there were people that I knew 10 years ago a lot better than the guys that I know that just came in 3 weeks ago.
Sure.
You know, so like there's always that aspect of it. And I think it's a fair question to ask. But to your point is, we're not going to get an answer in week two. And just because you say that it's a problem with what Green Bay had in week one doesn't mean that you're counting Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers out. They threw a stinker up in Tampa Bay last year. Tampa Bay had their own stinkers on their way to a Super Bowl, so things can turn around. But everything that was given to Green Bay this past week was fair, considering how everything evolved since that NFC Championship game that they lost to Tampa.
Yeah, it's just one of those situations, right? As it went on, and you know, don't take a lot of victory laps because I get as much wrong as I do right. And perhaps, you know, against the spread in my 1-900 lose my ass challenge, currently sitting at 7-10. I ain't feeling too great about it at the moment, which means a lot of miles and a lot of walking ahead for my feet. Got to get comfortable shoes like Cliff Clavin told us at the end of Cheers. But it's the sequencing of him coming back here. And I thought that would happen. But yeah, the relationships are going to need mending, right? They're all professionals, all have egos, and they know they're better shot to win, to grab any playoff bonuses, to put stuff on tape that might net them a bigger payday, whether in Green Bay or elsewhere, right? Playoff games and being part of a playoff offensive and defensive line. You're kidding yourself if you don't think that helps at the negotiating table. But, you know, with Bakhtiari not available, you know, the offensive line takes a hit. The wide receivers beyond Davante Adams, they're good, but they're only made great.
Are they?
Well, no, but I mean, that's what I mean. Good is a very wide berth, right?
Sure.
Right? Adequate? Like, I didn't want to downgrade him to, you know, Jags just quite so soon. But the point is, normally it's Rodgers is going to elevate them. That's the history. And if he doesn't, and he has a game like that, then, you know, or multiple games like that, then suddenly those guys are not creating separation on their own, I guess is the point. They're good enough when he's on his game, but they're not going to be able to make the big plays on their own, right? Robert Tonyan, not to be confused with Tonyan. It rhymes with Funyan, as we've been told. You know, he was a red zone guy. Beyond that, really not a factor between the 20s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a position that, as we've seen develop through the years, you know, he's good for part of, you know, what you need in terms of the whole pie chart at that position. You go and to the point, as you ask, are they? Yeah, the receivers, they're interchangeable. They're just guys. But it's Aaron Rodgers being on his game and having that timing and being away as long as he was. Who got the timing? Who got the reps? Jordan Love. And maybe during that time they decided he is not the guy and not the solution to anything going forward. And maybe that's the case. But in the interim, that's all reps that the secondary guys didn't get with Aaron Rodgers.
I would be willing to bet, and I would be willing to bet a lot, that week one is the worst game that Aaron Rodgers will play this season. I don't think that you're going to see a zero touchdown, two interception for 148 yard performance again from Aaron Rodgers this season. I think that is going to be rock bottom. I don't know, Mike, if there's going to be a 180 yard, one touchdown, two interception game. I don't know that. I don't know that. It is not going to get 133 yards. I even gave him a few extra yards. I think I gave him Jameis Winston's yardage accidentally. The point being, though, is I don't think it's going to get any worse. It's just the question of, are there going to be times where, or is it always going to be better than that? And I think that is part of the question. I don't think that, and I don't think, honestly, Mike, that they're the guys that are fully invested Super Bowl or bust on the Packers team have too much of a problem with Aaron Rodgers or any problem with Aaron Rodgers. It's just more of just being chemistry and age difference and that sort of thing. And can you get on the same page? And those are the things that you just wonder, which actually makes, you know, what Tom Brady and the Buccaneers were able to do last year a little bit, be able to appreciate that a little bit more. But then you realize, well, Brady brought in guys that were familiar with him. So, yeah, there's the jury is still out. I just don't think that it's going to be as bad. I feel very confident saying that Aaron Rodgers played his worst game of the season last Sunday. It's just the question of, are there going to be other stinkers along the way?
Yeah, to your point about the age difference and relatability in the locker room, I mean, one thing we'd always heard about Brady, even the buttoned-up Brady in New England, right? Now he's just being himself, right? He's got that lease on life. Whether you like it or not, whether you're really tired of him now, that not only does he win, but he also has a personality that, if you're being honest, he's pretty funny. And he's pretty snarky, and he's the kind of that's the kind of stuff's like, yeah, that's what we all do, particularly if you work in our business. And I think a lot of folks are really having to come to grips with that. But he was always the guy that went into the locker room and introduced himself to the new guys. Hi, I'm Tom. Like, they didn't know who you were. Right, like they didn't, you know, have your poster on the wall or trading cards sitting around in their homes. No, they've been watching you forever. But still, it's that, hey, you're the new guy. And you're new to me, so welcome in. I don't know how Aaron Rodgers works in a locker room the same way. Something tells me it's not quite the same welcoming. Hey, you're one of the 53 here.
Well, I mean, I think that his cachet and who he is, and I think that that carries a lot. I do, and I think that other players understand that. What I do wonder, though, Mike, is even if none of this happened in the offseason, and we're talking about on-field stuff, there was going to be a regression from his MVP season.
Well, there had to be. I mean, look at the prior 2 years. He threw 51 passes or 51 touchdown passes over 2 years.
Correct.
And then he throws 48 last year. Yeah, the statistically, it had to.
So, and that's if everything went right. So that what kind of leaves everything open is, okay, everything didn't go right in the offseason. There's actually one of the reasons why I said that Green Bay should have traded him is because there was no point that his value would have been higher for a guy that's going to be 38 years old. Like, there was no way that value was going to be higher coming off of an MVP season. It was the time where you could get the most for him. Green Bay said, all right, we're still in the Super Bowl push. Let's go with it. And that's where they are now. But there was always going to be a regression off of last season.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is how I start every conversation, slow. And then I have someone in the corner start singing over the top. Oh. It's all layers, Dan Byer. Mike Harmon, Dan Byer with you, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. We thank all our team making us sound oh so pretty tonight. We got Nick and Steve and Alex Tyshirt on the ones and two, the wheels of steel, whatever euphemism you wish to use. We thank them for making us sound so good on a Friday night. And for all of you out there, wherever you are, thanks for being part of the extended family. We come in each night, try to entertain, inform you, and get your mind to the good side, to the light, as it were, even if there are teams that you hate. And maybe some people in your life who cheer for those teams that maybe get a little bit and start grating on you. We try to find the good stuff, and then you can go and win bar bets with some of the stuff we propose as well. At Dan Byer on Fox is where you find Dan. Find me over at Swollen Dome. And coming up in about 10 minutes from now, we will do the buyer or seller, a little bit of waiver wire slash week one performances. I'm going to ask Dan Byer if he's on board or if he thinks it's a fluke, you know, like we just did a little bit with Aaron Rodgers. But one of the stories that, well, we just won't go away until it finally does, is in Chicago, where everybody wants to see Justin Fields. And certainly they got a little of him on Monday night. To my eye and my watching of the game, it a couple of times disrupted flow in terms of drives that were moving really well. And then you got a little discombobulated. Now, there were other mistakes that were made, but the Bears moved the ball pretty effectively. But that didn't stop, well, every media member for getting their permutation on the when question to Matt Nagy. Let's hear how it went.
As you mentioned, he does multiple things well. How much value does he have, I guess, as a chess piece within your game planning?
I think he provides a lot of value now that we're here at this point and we're not in training camp and the guessing game or whatever. Inevitably, what it does is when you have a guy like Justin, teams, when they see that, now they got to prepare in certain ways for certain things they may think of or not think of. So it just can help us that way, too.
Chess piece. Dan Byer, spoken as if he were a gadget guy. You know, the Taysom Hills of the world or other players who have been used for gimmick play and trickeration as opposed to the quarterback of the future. So I am feeling so great about that. Although you know my long stance against Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, and the decision makers in Chicago as it stands.
Well, and I know that you have thoughts on it. What I do find interesting, and first of all, it was the reporter's words of using chess piece,
sure,
but Nagy did confirm exactly what he said. The interesting thing about it that I thought was throughout the entire preseason and then heading into the regular season, it was always Andy Dalton QB1, Andy
yep.
Dalton QB1, Andy Dalton QB1. So what does Sean McVay say leading into week one? We'd be stupid not to try to look at some things with Justin Fields and prepare for it. So now, so any cover up, Mike, that the Bears were trying to do that they had packages for Justin Fields installed in week one were already being planned for by the Rams. So to change like the narrative of how you're using, because there was never a chess piece or a secret weapon sort of thing centered around Justin Fields in the preseason. It was just all about Andy Dalton being QB1. And if other teams are just obviously going to be smart enough to realize that, hey, there could be some stuff with Justin Fields, we got to be ready. It doesn't seem like the Bears are you know, forgive me, but playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers, they know exactly what's going on. They're not, Bears aren't fooling anybody with any of this. And they didn't fool Sean McVay and the Rams in week one, who said, yeah, we are going to prepare for Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, and especially if you're going to bring in Justin Fields thinking, all right, there's going to be a difference to what you call and the plays you run. You didn't. You still ran every receiver at a 6 to 8 yard route. Mm-hmm. You know, even though you were on the 12-yard line when he came into the game at one point. Yeah, that out route to the three really helps you. But it just – and then he goes back off. Here comes Andy Dalton. You have some confusion on the offensive line. Mooney runs a wrong route, and you have the interception instead of the quick curl at the one, right, and just laying down and catching the ball right there. Instead, he's going to the back of the end zone, and there's a pick. And look, the defense couldn't stop anybody. So that would be really where most of my questions would be directed if I were in Chicago right now, saying, what happened to these guys that used to be able to play defense? And here's a bunch of graphs about Khalil Mack. Why can't he get anywhere near a quarterback anymore, or at least cause undue pressure to force the ball out early? One of the big questions that'll have to be answered this week against Cincinnati. But to the point, and I referenced RJ Bell's promo that's running on the network, talking about the Bears being a narrow favorite at home with Cincinnati coming in, Cincinnati coming off the big win over Minnesota. But it's strikes me that I think most folks are reacting to just the quick clips of Matthew Stafford's big plays, which were actually a couple of underthrows, save the Cooper Kupp one, and a nice throw to Higbee down the sideline on one of the possessions. Look, they all count. They all go into the books and whatever. But I think for a lot of folks, that was their about the extent of their exposure to the game, because they neglected to see that the Bears put up almost 340 yards of offense, that they won time of possession, that they had more first downs, that Andy Dalton, while not great, wasn't the problem. Like some of the play calling and the, all right, let's just run short routes. Like they didn't take shots downfield at all.
Sure. But
to some of that is the offensive line, and you're trying to play a timing game against Errol Donald and company. But you've got Darnell Mooney out there as a speedster for a reason.
But this is where the NFL turns into the NBA. Because no offense to you or anybody in Chicago, but nobody cares about the Bears. Meaning they are more into the drama of Justin Fields and Andy Dalton. Just like we're more interested in Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden than we are of the Brooklyn Nets. You know, like that's the TMZ aspect of the NFL that comes into play. And that's where I think like Nagy in the situations that they have with Fields, to your point of him disrupting flow when Justin Fields came into the game, it didn't seem that Justin Fields was put into the game to give them a competitive edge, Mike. It seemed that Nagy put him into the game to try to show everyone, see, look at what I'm doing with him.
Sure.
Or look at, like, it was almost like a photo opportunity, or it, you know, just like what really is this? That is this really for the good of the team, or is this for the good of you to try to continue to develop a narrative or develop a new narrative? Because to your point, I don't know how effective it was, especially if the Rams were, again, preparing for Justin Fields for that game. And that's the question that Nagy then has to weigh. What is the most successful way for the Bears to win? Is it Justin Fields, maybe in a limited playbook? Is it Andy Dalton in the full playbook? Or is it Andy Dalton with a full playbook and a mix of Justin Fields and some of his limited? Like, that's what he's got to weigh, and there's different, you know, weighing to it. But just the way that he used Fields seemed to be more cosmetic and more of a show-off thing than anything else.
Yeah, it's just if you're going to spend the entire offseason with the, all right, this is QB1, this is QB1, then actually – draw your playbook up to make the most of what Andy Dalton is, right? Mm-hmm. While he's not a world beater, the guy has been and was for quite a while a fairly consistent arrival to the playoffs, right? He got it. It's like the Met Gala. He got his invitation and wore his crazy striped outfit there for a number of years. You like that? That was pretty good. I'm going to keep that in the repertoire, as it were. But, you know, Justin Fields, do we know that he's going to be dynamic and some of those things? You've decided he's not earned or is ready for the number one job right now. So why not try to maximize what you can do? Goes back to last year, right, where you had Mitchell Trubisky, and look, a lot of folks don't like Mitchell Trubisky, and that's fine. But I caution folks that, you know, tuned out. And again, it became a national narrative because he became a punching bag, right? That's the only thing. Even if they don't care about how a game actually flows, the point is, if you're going to mock it, you should at least understand it and should have watched it. That's my only thing with it all. Going back to your Brooklyn comments as well, right? You've got to actually pay attention to the whole instead of just picking. At least that's me. But I don't do hot take nonsense. So I guess that's where I differ. I also don't have the 7-figure job that comes with doing hot take nonsense. So but nuance that, is lost on us all.
Like, it's not about the Bears and their well-being. It's more about the quarterback drama. You know, just like it is about the Brooklyn Nets and the Nets winning a title. It would be about Kevin Durant and James Harden winning a title. Like that's sort of like the life that I think that it's, you know, that it's kind of taken on, and why it's kind of overshadowed what maybe other problems in Chicago that maybe that Bears fans care about and those in Chicago care about. But on a national scope, it just is more of the TMZ quarterback drama individual stuff that we get so much in the NBA.
Yeah, it's just the fun part of it, just going to finish the Trubisky part of it, was, remember, he went to Nick Foles, who was, well, not good would be the nice way to do it. I'm not going to besmirch the man who's just holding a clipboard at this point and collecting his check. Trubisky, when reinserted, they changed how they called the offense. They scored 30 points a game. David Montgomery became a beast, and all of a sudden there they were. So, you know, it's the, hey, you could change it. And look, if he wants to change it to adapt to what Justin Fields can do, have at it. But in the interim, I just find it curious, some of the narratives that build up, and even around Chicago. I get it. You wanted to see Justin Field. That doesn't mean you neglect what you actually saw on the field of play Sunday night.
What do you want in week 2? You're a Bears fan. What do you want to see in week 2?
I just want them to – I want to see more routes down the field than what we're game planned to, because I've seen nothing that indicated that Dalton checked down to where everything was 7 to 10 yards. I think the longest route for Allen Robinson was 9 yards. You've got him. You've got Darnell Mooney. You've got Cole Kmet. You got 3 guys that can do some damage a little further down the field. Now, obviously, it's a different pass rush with Cincinnati than what you faced against the Rams, but I think you can have success. You know, we do a bit on the show now. Dan, welcome in. It's a double the point spread, right? So lay it double. Bears are 2.5-point favorites, or were when we started talking about it. I'd lay the 5.
Mm-hmm.
This week against Cincinnati. I think there's a lot of feel good for the Bengals. And again, the narrative about the Bears being, hey, look, Matthew Stafford throwing there. Well, it's a different team. It's a different set, different play callers, whatever else. No disrespect to Joe Burrow and company. I think Andy Dalton can win football games, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make.
Sure.
And I think a lot of folks are just caught in to what you said. They want the spectacle and they want the drama as opposed to actually watching what went on the field.
Yeah, and that's fair. I just don't I don't buy the Matt Nagy, you know, just to bring it back, of the chess piece, because I don't think you're fooling anybody.
No,
I don't think that
I
any
agree.
Teams are you know, maybe they have to plan for a few different things, but that's no different than playing a Saints team with Taysom. It's no different.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Dan Byer in for Jason Smith. Listen to the bass start rolling. I can see Dan with a handheld stick microphone like he's Bob Barker dancing around his living room.
I used to dress up like Bob Barker.
Ohio State mini helmet in hand.
I used to dress up like Bob Barker when I was a kid.
You say that like it's wrong. Like it's wrong.
No, I didn't. I didn't say it like that at all. True story.
I dig that about you. Sharing. That's what we do on a Friday night. Wherever you are, be safe. Take care of yourselves. And if you need a little boost, hey, if you're finding it harder to perform at your best as you age, well, you can fight back with M-Drive, the daily supplement for driven men who refuse to let age beat them. M-Drive supports healthy testosterone levels and boosts energy to help regain your edge. Visit mdriveformen.com for 20% off your first order with promo code Smith, S-M-I-T-H, mdriveformen.com. There's free shipping and a 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Visit mdriveformen.com. No, I dig that. You know, Bob Barker, you know, the epitome of a guy that just kept rolling. He keeps going now. I mean, I can only aspire to be so influential for so many years, Dan.
They unveiled some new games this week as well on The Price is Right. One today that I really didn't get because the guy actually aced it and then it was over and won $25,000. But so something to look forward to in the 50th season.
There you go. 50 years. That's God loving. I'm going to bang on this table. That's how long we'll be yelling here at Fox Sports Radio. I can't wait for year 50 of the I Want Your Flex podcast. Year 2 is underway, though. You can find that Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your audio. Download it. Give it 5 stars. Evangelize. Send it to your friends and neighbors. Look, it's like a free gift. You can say, look, I gave you gold. And maybe you can literally turn it into gold.
Let's hope.
Or some kind of cryptocurrency.
We aim to please.
That's exactly right. If nothing else, you're going to get a lot of data points and entertainment from Dan and I each and every week on the podcast. And Dan, as we get into week 2 of the season, you know, you have some big events. And even last night's game where you had a little bit of an eye-raising performance. Well, on two parts, right? For some of the football analysis that we did get from Jason Cole, we talked a little bit about Daniel Jones and, well, the fact that Joe Judge doesn't look like he trusts him in some of those sequences, but some big plays took care of the football. On the other side, you got Taylor Heinicke, and when asked, should he get the job, he said, well, yeah, look at how well I played and whatever else, and with Ryan Fitzpatrick on the shelf, maybe it is Heinicke time. Are you buying either of them as a fantasy option moving forward?
It's really tough for me to trust Daniel Jones because it doesn't seem like he's on the same page with that receiving core. The Kenny Golladay outburst was made of something. It just doesn't seem, though, that there is just this connection right there. So I don't think you can sit there and hope that Daniel Jones gets 100 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns, which is what he would have had if it wasn't for that holding penalty. So I am cautious on Jones. I would say I would sell on him, and I wouldn't buy. As for Heinicke, if I can hold, the thing that I like about him that I didn't like about Daniel Jones is there seems to be some chemistry with Terry McLaurin. And I think if you have chemistry with your number one wide receiver, then things can work out. Things can be good, but you need to have that. I'm just not ready. I still think that Fitzpatrick would be a better option throwing that football. And I don't know if Heinicke can keep the job if Washington doesn't win games and even if he's playing well. He's got to be a difference maker, but I would hold on Heinicke right now. I wouldn't sell on him because I like the connection with him and McLaurin.
All right, let me get one more in for you. At the running back position, everybody ran for Elijah Mitchell. Do you think he can hold off Hasty and Trey Sermon and all the other would-be contenders?
I'm skeptical. Just because of how things have gone in the past with the 49ers, I would like to say hold, but if I had to lean, I would buy at least for short term.
All right, there you go. Another guy we're going to talk about buying or selling. Former players coming out about Urban Meyer reports. We'll get into it next.